goes.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Ray Stanford joins us this week on the Paracast. We're talking about very fascinating UFO encounters in and around White Sands. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. A question of geography before we go into this later case. When you first saw the thing in Texas, how far was that from White Sands?
That was, I don't know the mileage, but Plains, Texas is right out in the middle of the highway that runs on the north. Well, there's a highway that runs on the north side of White Sands, and if you go east on it from White Sands, go through Roswell, it goes right on into West Texas. And it's about, I don't know, I'm from South Texas. Texas is a big place, but it's right in the middle of that part of Texas that sticks out there and comes to a point out into
So you were like 300-400 miles away at that point then.
I don't know. I don't think it was. I don't really know, to tell you the truth. I don't think it was quite 400 miles. It might have been, though, because it took us. It was dark when we got into Roswell and got dinner, and it was at 11:35 when we just broke off, and we were having this feeling very strongly.
Let's return to what we were talking about before the break. Now, your wife felt the same kind of euphoria that you felt, right?
Yes, as did the other person.
Right. Okay. Go on, please, with a description of what happened next.
Okay, what happened is, and I exclaimed, I said, it's so strong, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these things appeared right down the road right now. At that instant, it appeared. Now, the thing was shaped like the Socorro object, a very elongated ellipsoid or egg shape, if you stretched out an egg. And the surface of it was glowing the reddest red I've ever seen. We had a helium neon laser back at our lab, and it would make that thing look orange. It was so long red toward the infrared wavelength. And it was flashing at one rate, but there was a corona out around it, not coming off the surface, but that formed out some distance from the surface that was flashing at a different rate. And this corona was the same color. It was absent for about 40 degrees in the direction of travel. And these egg-shaped objects would travel just a little tilted a bit off of their axis of straight ahead. But you'd see this, you could imagine maybe there was a, I don't know if it was a magnetic vent or what there, that the plasma was not there, but you could see this seeming plasma red in the corona out around, and then the surface had the same color. As I said, though, they were flashing at two different rates, as we documented on film and were able to subsequently measure. Well, of course, we jumped out of the Silverado and took out all the equipment, and this time we got out, and I deployed about 300 feet from the highway and the vehicle, the gravimeter sensor, and about 250 feet away, I deployed the magnetometer sensor, and just as I am finished setting up the two sensors, I had set my spectrum camera on the back of the van, and my wife screamed, Ray, get the spectrum, get a spectrum, get a spectrum. I turned around, and lo and behold, the red object was no longer a red object, and it wasn't moving to the northwest. It was moving straight down. It was huge. It was the weird thing about it was that it was not, but it was bright, but there was no glare. It's as if it almost looked like a cutout oval. It wasn't the long ellipsoid. It looked completely flat and like a cutout oval, more of an oval than an actual ellipse shape.
Yeah, and, like it was two dimensional.
Yeah, it looked two dimensional. I had an experience of seeing objects like this before. I read them in the literature, but somehow when one this big and this close, this red thing has suddenly become like this. I ran over and lay my hands on the spectrum camera. See, knew it was so big and so bright, you should be able to get a big, huge, wonderful spectrum. The moment I put my hands on the camera, the thing made a 90-degree turn with visual instantaneity, continued to the north, and if I remember correctly, it was to the north instead of the south in that case, and it became the object that we had first seen. And this was very strange, and I was, of course, infuriated and upset that I had missed the spectrum of it, because that would give a far clearer, sharper spectrum than the red object, which is actually much smaller. Fortunately, During that vertical descent, the gentleman that was with us, that was operating the 35-millimeter film camera with 300-millimeter telephoto, took a time exposure during the dive. And believe me, what was recorded is most remarkable. I did, at Drizzle Bryan's encouragement yesterday, I did succeed in finding that slide, and I'm going to scan it. And it is, well, if you imagine a 35-millimeter film frame, this thing is about one-third, maybe a little better, wide, right in the middle of the night sky, the black sky, and it goes all the way from top to bottom because he just opened it after the dive had begun and closed it before the dive ended because he didn't want to move the camera and it had gone out of the range of the 300-millimeter lens.
So he had it on a tripod then in order to take the time.
He had it on a tripod, and he had the cable release, so not vibrate the tripod and camera. And so what it shows is bizarre. It's whitish, but it has interlocking diamonds on it that are suddenly darker, like they're interlocking long rhombic shapes, to be more specific about the shape. Now, on the left side of this kind of a whitish ivory color kind of a vertical array that it produced, on the left side it looks redder, and it may have been an illusion of the left side looking redder, but it looks like the right side might be a little more on the blue side. I'll get to analyze that when I get to checking it out in analysis once I've got it scanned. But it's quite strange. What would make that? We didn't see any diamond shapes. It was just this big oval thing, very bright but not glary.
Well, now, Ray, why do you think those diamond shapes appeared in a time exposure image? It doesn't sound physically possible for that to happen.
We're talking about high speed phenomena that are too fast for the eye to see. You know, you get over about 12 frames a second, and the eye starts flicker fusing things, in a movie, or they're a little faster at TV frames and so on and so forth. The eye would summate, and we don't know the frequency of the appearance. We don't know if these diamonds were one group at a time or one at a time or how they appeared. And all of that makes it very understandable that when you're dealing in first place in high-energy physics, most of the stuff goes on at a speed that the human eye does not catch. That's why your research cameras on plasma can record several million frames a second, because you can have the plasma build up and completely go in far less than a millionth of a second. So we don't know. We can't speculate at this point about what was producing those diamonds. The curious thing about this event is it's a dramatic event, and, of course, we graphically remembered it. But when we got back to Austin and played the entire ambient tape of every camera click and every reaction, every word we said, we were shocked because it happened a second time not long after that. And we had zero. We would have sworn that it only happened once. But you hear us reacting to it, describing it a second time.
Okay, this is something I don't understand, so we're going to have to approach this in more detail in a moment. Okay, you're saying, Ray, that you remember one experience like this, but as soon as you checked your data, it was two.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
The recording.
All right.
So you have a little mini missing time episode there or something. Or
well,
it sounds like things were going so fast and furious that you really, it's kind of hard to keep everything.
I think there's probably a very easy physiological explanation for this. When strong extreme low frequency magnetic field is impinging your brain, it begins to replicate it. Well, this was in the range of deep restful sleep. I think it can induce amnesia. I believe that this has been demonstrated in the laboratory. I can't cite the literature right now, but I believe that I've read about this. And let me mention an interesting fact in relationship to this. I'm sure that, Gene, that you've heard of cases where the husband or the wife gets up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. They look out the window, and here is this incredible object right out there, like it's landing or almost going to land in their yard. And
I'll tell you what, though, we're going to have to discuss that in our next segment. We have Ray Stanford. We're discussing some really fascinating UFO encounters, starting in Texas, moving on to near White Sands, New Mexico. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes, where the truth remains hidden and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Thanks, Dan, for joining us. We're talking with Chris O'Brien, who's the co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And now we're trying to look at the background here where you remember one instance and it becomes two, and you were going on with the background for this.
it was two different instances. It wasn't the same instance. We didn't remember it twice. It actually occurred because the tape recorder, which is not subject to the effects of the extreme low frequency magnetic field, was recording the whole time. And you hear everything we say in there, and so there's no lost time. There's no missing time. It's just that we don't remember it. In other words, there is...
Yeah, but that's the other question, too. Isn't missing time fundamentally losing your memory of what might have happened? Wouldn't that be the same thing?
Well, yeah, it certainly could be. Yes, it certainly could be. I don't know if the mechanism's the same or not, because allegedly, according to the literature of the current belief system, you're abducted. We don't know if there is an active field with a craft with a magnetic field that could be doing this. We just don't know. Nobody studied it. All I can talk about from the standpoint of science is what we recorded and saw. It might be analogous to it. It might not. It's hard to say.
So maybe, though, if you didn't record it, maybe you would suddenly have a missing time episode that you couldn't pinpoint or explain.
Oh, sure you could.
Well, I have a question. Did you have your time clock set up? Did you have your baseline time code going?
Oh, yes. All of this.
So you did. Okay, so there's no question.
The binary time is being recorded with the gravitic and the magnetic signal. And we were getting strong, extreme low-frequency magnetic signals that were just fascinating because when one of these, they were clearly showing off, and it turned, they were showing off to gigantic lighted panels on the top of a Scuta Peak that were being sequenced at such high speed.
Ray, we're getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit. Let's go ahead and set the stage. Where were you in relation to a Scuta Peak? How far away? How much time elapsed before these objects started interacting? When did you first notice that there were lighted panels? Let's set it up a little bit.
Okay. Just a minute. July 27th. I'm trying to get, July 19th. Okay, now let me tell you, I'm looking at my photo log here, and we were on highway, let's see, where there are two cases. I'll make sure I'm not giving you the date on the wrong one. Okay, on the one there, we were on highway 380 at 31.6 miles east of Interstate Highway 25, and we were 219.8 miles west of the daytime event of the same day that I mentioned earlier, and we were 42.7 miles out of Socorro, New Mexico, and we were 34.3 miles west of the intersection of 380 and Highway 54 in Carrizozo, New Mexico, which is on the north edge of the White Sands Proving Ground, where we were.
And how far away from Oscura Peak were you at this point?
Well, we don't know. We haven't measured the exact distance. It was really, really pretty close because these things were... I forget. We have that in the data because these objects would maneuver right in front of the panels. And we were able to determine there was a strong 7-second sound, awesome sound, that we recorded repeatedly. And it only occurred. You couldn't hear anything. Except it was, this sound would come on 3.5 seconds before the reversal of direction and continue for 3.5 seconds after the reversal of direction. This is not based on our guesswork. It's based on the actual recordings and film that we have. Now,
well, first of all, you've mentioned these panels. Our listeners are, I think, might be a little confused at this point. We haven't really gone into what the panels were. Why don't you bring everybody
they
up to
were,
speed?
If you were to pass by there or pull up an image of a Scuta Peak, if there are any on the internet, I haven't checked, you would see that they weren't right at the top, but a little way down from the top. They would have to be, I suppose, several miles in diameter. I don't know if they went completely around the top. They were certainly on our side, the northwest side, and on the north side of it. These panels must have been gigantic. I would say that they could have been 100 feet high, each one.
Wow.
And they were rectangular or square, and they had clearly been built there for the purpose of communicating with these objects. In fact, we joked about some Air Force colonel watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which had come out the December before, and decided, let's have a try at it. And since they had an order to get intelligence by any means possible, why not try to communicate? Well, maybe they had that idea even beforehand, because as it turned out, late that year, the late Dick Hall, Richard Hall, well-known UFO researcher, who was a close friend of the late Donald E. Kehoe, who wrote those early books on UFOs that were so interesting, Don Kehoe had told him, he said, that in the summer of 1978, the U.S. government planned to attempt to communicate with aliens operating UFOs. Now, Richard,
let me ask you a fast question here, Ray. Ray, please. Let me ask you a fast question about Donald Kehoe.
Sure.
Did Major Kehoe mention this in any of his books?
Oh, no. Now, he didn't have any books at this time period. This is 1970. He had quit writing books by this time.
Okay.
He told Richard, he said that a high-up source in the government, you know, Kehoe was famous for this, having a lot of high-up contacts, and he had been a major in the Marine Corps before he retired, but that was years before. But he had high-up contacts that I guess he had maintained. And that's what he told Richard. Richard did not know about this, you know, when he came out with it. We had not come out with this publicly. And Richard, however, came out and said that this is what Kehoe had told him. He had said this in the context of mentioning that 1978 was one of the biggest flap years, possibly the biggest flap in the history of UFOs. He said it was certainly the case in other countries, but that the data in the U.S. also looked like it was on par, perhaps, with the rest of the world. And he mentioned it in that context, not knowing that, of course, that we had encountered this actual contact going on, which we think was possibly a first contact, at least with whatever kind of intelligences this might have been.
Is there any documentation from Richard Hall about what went on here with his interaction with Major Kehoe?
You'd have to ask whoever has his correspondence and his close personal friends. I don't know how you would find out about this. It was in one of the UFO publications, too. One of the I hope to come across it again. I'm pretty sure, although I think I saw this somewhere on the Internet, I'm pretty sure I saw it in physical print in some UFO publication. Was there a newsstand publication back out as late as 78, 79, 80?
There were some newsstand publications, but they tended to be published by, as they say, organizations that weren't so pleased with presenting accurate information. They were just hack publishers.
Well, the only one I know was called Official UFO, and I think they were pretty much at whatever was pitched at them that they could use. I think they had
that was the one. I think Myron Fass was the owner of that particular publication, Official UFO. It was junk books. Basically, they would get advances, cash advances from distributors for a certain number of books, and they would live on their cash advances, so they would put out more books.
Magazine that existed for years.
They call them books in those days, the publishers. They say, you know, we'll get 10 books and get 10 advances.
Yeah, I bet you one of our Paracast forum visitors is diving into this right now as we speak.
I'll tell you what, before we dive in further into what happened here, we have Ray Stanford. We're talking about UFO encounters in and around White Sands, New Mexico, starting in Texas, and about the aftermath of that. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the Paracast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the Paracast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the Paracast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new evacuation pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this two-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis. Genesis.
This is Philip Rogno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
We have another session with Ray Stanford. We're talking about some incredible UFO encounters in which he participated, in which he got some interesting sorts of evidence. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you want to follow up with Ray about this stuff?
Okay, so just to make sure that we get a kind of a visual idea of what's going on, you're approximately, I think I looked at a map at one point when you told me the story. You were about 7, I think, or so miles away, just outside of the boundary of the White Sands Proving Grounds. You were looking at Oscura Peak. You all of a sudden are aware of these large, about 100 foot high, and who knows how long they were in terms of their, you know.
Yeah, they went all the way around, side by side, all the way around the peak.
Right. Now,
and
go ahead.
Let me mention this. If you had been driving down there, you would have thought it was a continuous weird band that had an odd drop-off. You know when you're at these new traffic lights, they're like what's called a Fresnel lens. You get off the side, you can't see them, and
right.
They don't get real bright. Well, these panels were that way. They got sharply dim as they went around the thing, and apparently they had that kind of a character to them. But as you looked at them, you'd have sworn they were continuous. But my wife happened to turn and see them through the side of her eyes, which is more sensitive, and she said, hey, guys, those aren't continuous. Those things are sequencing. And we didn't believe it at first, but we turned and saw them from the side, and they were. And we took different exposures of different time durations, and we proved conclusively we have photographs showing, you know, the breaks in them as they're sequencing.
Wow. Okay, well, continue.
So in other words, they didn't want to be seen as something sequencing up there, I think, by the traffic passing by, but they were sequencing all the while, and I suspect there was also data on the individual panels. I could be wrong, and let me say that I think that big white appearance we saw, may I take a moment and explain what we deduced afterward might have happened to cause it to turn toward us and show that big white?
Absolutely.
Okay. We were new arrivals. I mean, we'd driven up there, and all of a sudden we saw this thing, and it didn't take us long to stop the van, get out, and start getting the equipment ready. I was out deploying the things, but it I'm pretty fast, and my wife's getting get a spectrum. Well, it had made this turn and showed this incredible, mysterious, sharp-edged, huge white shape and oval. And we think there's a serious possibility this normally was programmed to be turned toward the source interested in them on the peaks, but that somehow that this is possibly psi-responsive, mind-thought-responsive technology, as a lot of the reports was almost convinces it is, and that it locked onto us as the newcomers, and it took them a while to realize, and a second time it flipped back on us that we didn't remember, but then they stopped. It never happened again because I think they realized they were picking up on these jerks on the highway instead of the government people on the peak.
That's a bit of a strat. It's kind of hard to just accept that at face value, but you know, of course, not being there, it's hard for me to be judgmental about that. But that's a very interesting observation.
What do you mean by stretch? I mean, what part is a stretch for you?
Well, in terms of you thinking that you were somehow involved, that they recognized you, the pilots of these craft, that they recognized you, and somehow they were doing something for your benefit. I think.
No, I never said that, and nor did they do it for our benefit. We believe they locked onto our thoughts. UFOs, you know, people say
Hold on. That's your, in other words, you surmise this. This is your hypothesis.
We surmise they locked on to us.
Yeah, okay, so no, they didn't seek you out. You just happened to be there. They would have sought out or locked on to somebody, whoever was there.
I think they're watching a sensor locked on to us temporarily and turned that panel on once and then a shorter time later on. That's all. I think that they quickly realized the mistake, probably, and put it over at White Sand, because let me put it in the temporal context. What I described to you, each event only happened, you know, a short number of seconds when we saw this. But these objects did maneuvering for the light system up on that peak for 35 minutes. I don't know how long it had been doing before we got there, but we monitored it and filmed it and recorded it for 35 minutes. It was only a few seconds the first time, or I would have gotten the spectrum, and a few seconds the second time, and that was all. And so it suggests an accident to us.
Okay, Ray, what does the film show? If we look at the film, what are we seeing?
We don't have movie film. The ASA on the film in there, of course, was when it's got the filters in, so on and so forth, it's only 25 ASA, and we would have gotten the white object, but we didn't. I was deploying magnetometer and gravity. What we got was light spectra, which is very important. We did get light spectra and of both of the objects in their red phase simultaneously. Now, what is really exciting to me from the standpoint of physics about this is that it was, first place, was the kind of light that no known aircraft would emit. It was one single line light. That is to say, one exact wavelength of light in the near infrared red spectrum. And
is this infrared film or standard film?
No. We're using standard. I think now we should have been using a color film, ISO color film. But our physicists had talked us into using black and white Tri-X film, I believe it was, and which in my opinion was a mistake. I've been much happier with color. But he said that the lines might be easier to measure and not bleed into each other with this type of film, and he might have been right. But in any case, we got spectra, and the single line of light is emitted when the electrons of an atom get energy pumped so much that they can't remain where they normally are, and they pop out to an outer energy shell that they're not normally in, and that nature tends to forbid, and there's the tendency to drop back in. But to drop back in, they have to emit as photons the energy that they had absorbed. And so when they drop back, they emit a single discrete wavelength of light that we call single line light, because it produces a single line on the spectrum. And this in itself could not have resulted from photographing any aircraft, conditional aircraft, or probably even experimental aircraft in the sky, at least at that time. Now, but there was better than that. There was icing on the cake. That single line displayed a phenomenon called line splitting. And there are two things, and only two things, that can produce line splitting. One is that the light is being emitted in the presence of a very strong electromagnetic field, or that it is being produced in the presence of a very strong electrical field. And it happens that magnetodynamic propulsion produces both conditions. So here we felt that we had a spectral confirmation of a very strong electrical field and then probably a very strong magnetic field. Anyway, it broke the single line down into, I'm trying to remember, it was either four or six components. I haven't looked at it in a while, but it's four or six components. And so this makes it not only exotic, it makes it exotic to the nth degree, because it shows either one or both of these effects of line splitting of a single line of light. And thus, the evidence of the spectra is that absolutely they show us that something most extraordinary was emitting that light.
And Ray, you're going to allow us to go ahead and post this data on the Paracast Forum website, correct?
Well, I'm going to let you post some pictures that was taken through the 300-millimeter telephoto on color film of the object. What was interesting was that at one point, these objects had, let me kind of lay this out. Let's suppose that you're in the way up high looking down on a Astuda Peak and us parked down on the highway to the northeast of there. And if you look off to the northwest, as the crow flies, probably, 38 to 41 miles, there's Socorro, New Mexico. That's not an accurate figure on the top of my head, but it's approximate. Okay, what would happen is that these objects would appear right within a short distance of the panels. In fact, sometimes you would swear, they were within, a length of the object or two from the panels. For giving an example, one would appear high up in the sky, and one would appear very low, almost down toward the base of the mountain, and they would head toward each other like they were going to hit.
And they didn't, or what? We'll have to talk about that in a moment.
They move at high speed, and suddenly, within a few diameters of each other, both have made a right-angle turn and are moving off towards Socorro.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that in a moment. We have Ray Stanford. Right. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Question: what would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Ray Stanford for joining us. We're talking about this amazing series of UFO sightings, and I want to remind you we have forum.theparacast.com, and we have some stuff that will be posted by the time you hear this show, and then you're free to comment on it or not. Ray will be continuing to explain what he has. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, so where are we here? The objects are moving towards one another?
They moved in a vertical line, one moving up, one moved down toward each other, and they get just a few diameters in each other, and suddenly, visually, with visual instantaneity, they are not moving toward each other, but both are moving parallel courses off toward Socorro. And they would go over to a distance that we think probably was Socorro, and then they would instantly appear back over by the panels. Now, the interesting thing was we took time exposures as they were getting over near Socorro and left the shutter open. Even though you don't see it with the eye, if you look carefully in those shots, you will see a slight streak of light that goes from over there by Socorro to right near the panels in that short time of the exposure. And that part of the exposure, since once the object disappeared, the exposure was cut off. So, in other words, within probably a fraction of a second to a second of when the object disappeared in the Socorro direction, the shutter was closed. So they went that fast back over to the panels, which would, as I said, be 30-some-odd miles.
Wow.
Yeah, probably a fraction of a second.
That's smokingly fast. That's amazing.
Yeah, it should. And let me say this. That wasn't they constantly for 35 minutes they were doing these kinds of maneuvers. Another maneuver would be that they would head toward each other on a horizontal path, and they would suddenly, on the horizontal path, one would suddenly be going backward. The one that was in the Socorro direction would be going backward, and then they would both head the same distance together toward Socorro. Now, you could see them get smaller and smaller with distance. Then they would visually suddenly appear right over here at the things, even though our shot or two of that shows that there is a record of them moving across.
So you're sure it was the same two objects, that it wasn't two additional objects?
No question. They were unique as your fingerprint. Anyway,
let me ask you a question. When you mention all this, okay, it's the three of you came in your car and everything. Are there any records of anyone else seeing any of this stuff?
I'm not aware of anybody even coming along the highway that time, and I did. It was on a weekday night. Now, let me mention one case. There was a lady traveling on the highway that night. They contacted me. I went into Socorro and visited with the people at the newspaper there that, of course, I'd been in contact with when I was there, the original Socorro investigation. This is all those years later, 14 years later. But through the newspaper, they told me they ought to call this lady that she had contacted them. There was a lady that had been her husband was a fairly high person in the Bureau of Land Management, and she had two young sons that were traveling in the car with her. They had been traveling, I think they were coming from Carrizozo, and at some point, I don't remember the exact time, if it was before we got there and encountered these and they were, you know, it was going on then or what, but she didn't report the red object. She reported that as she was driving along there, this bright object showed up in her rear-view mirror, and she turned around and looked. The boys were sleeping. She turned around and looked, and she said it looked like nothing so much as the moon. Well, the full moon was up that night, but this wasn't the moon. And she said it had structures, kind of, I guess, hexagonal interfacing structures on its surface, and it followed them for a while. She kept thinking, maybe I'll wake the kids, but then she realized that, you know, this might be too much for them, and she didn't. But anyway,
did the newspaper report this? Did they?
No, they didn't report it. But this lady and her husband retired from BLM, and they moved, in fact, into central Texas, down near Cuervo, Texas, but which means turkey in Spanish, by the way. Anyway, and we became good friends. She and her husband had a really incredible observation of a UFO. And interestingly, also, she and her husband lived next door to the guy that was the manager, I believe was the term, for the Very Large Array of Radio Telescopes. I will go into that, but I'll get off the topic. But you run into interesting people on this journey, I'd say. But
six degrees of separation.
I
said six degrees of separation. It's a small world.
6 degrees? In other words, it's a small world.
It's amazing some of the coincidences out there. But continue, how far into the actual experience are you now? How far into the 35 minutes are you? You've described the vertical.
Oh, about halfway.
About halfway? Now, okay.
Let me tell you. At one point, both of the objects appeared some distance apart, and they both were moving towards Socorro, but they're still very close to us and very close to the panels of the peak. And I said, this time, that one in back is going to come up and dock with the other one. Now, get this. This is an irrational statement, and I had no rational basis for it. It was, I don't know why I said it. And the funny thing was that the other two of us there fully agreed with me without questioning, you know, Ray, are you losing your bananas? I mean, what's happening here?
And this is all on the analog audio tape.
It's all on the tape, all can be heard on the tape, and also we have wonderful sound of this incredible deep rumble with subsonics, the 7-second rumble associated with the turns. We have that.
Are you going to post a copy of that recording that we can listen to?
No, we won't. We won't publish that. But we might be able to, if I don't know anything about audio, but if Chris were here, I could let him copy one example of the rumble and our reaction to it. But let me finish this story before I get the end of it. Then I start counting down. I know when they're going to do this. I used to launch a lot of good-sized rockets that I built on Padre Island, and I'm good at counting down seconds. And I said, it's going to be 10, 9, 8, and you hear me on the counting down, and exactly when I get to zero, they dock, and they start tumbling along the line of travel. Now, this is what people will be able to see on the Paracast website, if you guys are willing to post it.
Absolutely.
The two objects connected as they're tumbling, and at one point, you'll see that they begin to show up as almost geometric figures. You'll see some that look like they're triangles, and it's all this pure, pure, pure red that was the reddest red I'd ever seen, except if you look very carefully, you will see on the left side of where they start tumbling on opposite sides, little tiny round bright blue bleeps, and you'll also see a couple of them not as vertical relative to each other along the tumbling near the middle, but they're much fainter. Now, these bleeps probably only occurred at, you know, 500,000 of a second timing. It was so sharp that our eyes did not apprehend that part at all.
You know, Ray, while you're talking, I want to go back to the sound recordings. This is on a cassette recording?
It's a what?
Is it a tape cassette, 1970s?
Yeah.
The tape cassette's trivial to convert that to digital and post it. So why not?
Yeah, it's easy.
Well, I would not send out original data to the mail.
No, no, we're not asking you to send it out. We're asking you to make some kind of arrangement, maybe to have a copy made, a digital copy made. There, you can basically plug the audio output into a personal computer.
That's why I said if you were here and bought your equipment, I could do it. But
well, we're going to make that happen, Ray. We'd love to get an example of this audio recording on the Paracast, so people can actually hear this wonderful physical.
What would be neat is to have the one where our operator. We had an expensive pointing microphone, and he's supposed to be pointing it at the object, and it's making this incredible sound. But he gets so excited he forgets, and you hear this rumble, and all of a sudden in the midst of it, you hear this boom, boom, boom. He got so excited he's beating the microphone against his left thigh and screaming, "Listen at that! Listen at that!"
Ray, let me explain something to you here. Ray, all you have to do is take a cassette recorder and plug the output into the input of a personal computer. Use a very simple, basic audio program. I bet Chris can talk you through this on the telephone.
Oh, absolutely. And my pleasure. I would love to do that, actually.
Well, if I've got the software that would do that, I don't know if I do.
Yeah, well, there is so much open source audio software
you can
that
get
does
free online, right?
Well, you'd have to hand. I mean, I am a computer ignoramus, and so
I'll help you on the phone. We'll go every step of the way. This is really cool that you're agreeing to not only do this, but the wonderful image that we already have, and plus the actual readouts from the gravitational and the magnetic data. It's fascinating.
Yes, well, I'm glad to do this. This, by the way, let's put this in context. There are one or two claims of UFO sounds not well documented. In this case, we not only have the photographs, we not only have light spectra, we not only have the audio recording of everything we said and every camera click, but we also have the extreme low frequency magnetic field, and we have waves of change in acceleration due to gravity that have a close correspondence to the magnetic field changes. We have this. There's never been a UFO case this well documented in history before this.
Well, that we know of, at least publicly.
The government, maybe. I hope the government
has
better.
The military probably has something in our minds. Anyway, continue.
By the way, make an interesting Freedom of Information Act request for somebody.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to pick up on that in just a moment. We have Ray Stanford, and we'll try to work with him on getting digital files to be posted on the Paracast.com website. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.